everybody. Welcome to the Rogue MMA Show. You guys know me. It's Skippy, Madhouse Original. Tonight, we got a good buddy, and we're going to have a lot of people calling in, it seems like, already. So I'm going to let's bring on Jesse real quick. And Jesse, how you doing tonight, brother?
I'm pretty good, man. Sitting here waiting for things to get on the air, I guess.
Well, let's check this out. Why don't you start talking a little bit? First of all, everybody, this is Jesse from the Unified Combat League. You know, why don't you give them a little bit of information about what you're doing? You just dropped some major announcements. Talk a little bit about that. I'm going to check these phone lines real quick while you're telling everybody.
Yeah, no problem, man. We've basically what we've done is we've aggregated, or we're in the process of aggregating 8 different promotions, host promotions around the U.S., Canada, Greenland, Panama, North and New Mexico, basically all of North America, the Bahama states or whatever you would call them, or the Caribbean states, Cuba, Dominican Republic, Jamaica, Puerto Rico. We've taken all of these countries, we've divided them into 8 districts, and we are vetting, as we speak, vetting different host promotions that are local, regional promotions to host 16-man amateur tournaments to establish district champions in each of these tournaments, or in each of these districts, rather. Once that happens, we want to fly all of them into somewhere central. We're thinking we're kind of in the air on the exact finale location, but the finale tournament will be an 8-man tournament. Probably we're kicking around the idea of going to Albuquerque, New Mexico, Phoenix, Arizona, Reno, Nevada. There's a couple of different spots flying all 8 of these district champions in to compete in a true North American championship, amateur championship. The winner of this championship would then be granted a pro contract to compete in the next season of the NORAM championship, which will then be a professional, the exact same setup, only it will be ran with professionals. The NORAM amateur champion will then get automatic entry into the next season's NORAM professional NORAM championship. So that's pretty much what we've got going on, man. It's a big deal.
Hey, Jesse, partner in crime, good friend of mine. He covers the Midwest, runs it deep down there for us. Chris Gregory's hopped on with us. Hey, Chris, how you doing tonight, brother?
What's up, man? It's nice to be on the radio with you guys. I love the tournament format, and that's what I'm doing down here in Branson, actually.
It's funny, Chris. This is, you know, we've been talking privately, and Jesse, so you know, Chris has a show of his own that he runs out there called the Yet To Be Named Show, and this is one of the guys I was talking about that, you know, I'd love to see you go on his show. So it's kind of cool we all get to kick back tonight. Chris, dude, that's right. You're at the single elimination tournament, correct?
Yeah. Let me just say that this is going to be a great tournament down here at Show Fight in Branson. The thing is that with this tournament, you know, there's a lot of guys that act like they're ready and that they're ready to step up. But you know, tonight a lot of the top guys didn't show up, man. And I was kind of you know, I went out of my way to do interviews on a lot of these guys, and I was just sad that, you know, a lot of these guys didn't show up. And you know, there's still going to be a tournament. It's still going to be great. It's going to be 10 guys. You know, there's going to be some alternates instead. But, like, you know, I mean, love the tournament, love the format, but it's really hard to put together a tournament. And I saw that tonight, definitely.
Yeah, we actually did the same thing. We had a 16-man tournament ourselves just on one of our qualifier cards. And it's a smaller, you know, the level of competitions, you know, a lot of the guys aren't as well trained as some of the more experienced guys. Half of them were bar fights, to be honest with you. But that was kind of the same thing we found, man. There was so many alternates by the end of the 155 tournament, especially. our heavyweight tournament made it all the way through, and I think we only lost like two guys due to injury, but the majority of them, they ended up going through and actually following through with the full tournament. That was over four shows. But the 155 tournament, same exact deal, man. Our first night, I think we went from eight fights down to like probably five with one extra guy. And, you know, the next fight we had ended up getting bringing in a bunch of alternates. And by the end of the tournament, we had guys fighting, or by the I guess it'd be, what, the semifinal round, whatever the round before the championship is, we had four guys, and three of them had never fought in the tournament yet. So it was pretty much bunked the whole thing. So that's kind of,
hey,
it just doesn't work here.
Hey,
go ahead, sorry.
I'm going to cut you guys off for a quick second. I'm going to bring in Jason Muggs real quick. He's going to be also kicking back with us. And he's after he introduces himself, we got a fighter waiting to come on for all of us to kind of talk with. He's got a fight coming up. So, Jason, welcome to the show. Welcome to Logan.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Oh, dude, brother, you know we got mad love for you out there, man. Why don't you tell everybody who you are and where you're from, man? Let the world know.
I'm Jason Mugg, man. They call me the keystroke guru. It's just kind of like, you know, I don't get in the ring, man. I'm like a tech guy behind the MMA scene. And so they all decide to give me a ring name. So anyways, that's why they call me that. But no, I run Amateur Combat Sports, man. AmateurCombatSports.com, AmateurCombatSportsLive.tv. We do live broadcasting every week, like from somewhere in Michigan, you know. And what you guys are talking about right now just hits home so hard, man. You know, and I understand what you mean by, like, you got alternates that come in, they never fought in the tournament. Well, that's because Ammies, man. I mean, you know, half the time these guys, and I hope the fighter that's coming on here, you know, flat out, man. I mean, they're either in or they're out, man. But sometimes these guys are like halfway in and halfway out, you know, or you're trying to get them to like focus on something. And these poor cats, man, they can't pull a sponsor to save their ass, and you know, they got to work that weekend. You know what I'm saying? they can't follow through with a whole damn tournament because that's just too much commitment for an AMI fighter anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely, the I agree with you. The and that was actually part of the reason why we chose to make our districts as large as they are, just to kind of broaden the selection, I guess.
The pool,
the pool of fighters. Just where these host promoters, we really want to. We've got a full-on dedicated PR department that is going to be going around, literally just for these host promotions. They're going to be talking to all of the legitimate gyms in their district and seeing which guys are the best dudes that they want to get in. And, you know, we're really trying to focus only on the guys, only on the amateurs that are ready to go pro and they're just looking for a contract to do it. You know,
are you West Coast right now?
We're in the Northwest. Yeah, go ahead.
Let's really get into this tournament talk with the four of us, but I want to get this this fighter on real quick because he's been holding for a few minutes. I'm going to bring him on real quick so we can talk to him. Brandon Fly, how you doing, brother?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Hey, welcome to Rogue. I was talking to you off air real quick. You're a 135 fighter, and you're fighting this coming week, this weekend coming up, correct?
Yeah, yes, sir.
You want to tell everybody where you're fighting out of and what event you'll be at?
I fight out of a school of boxing and MMA off Fines, 1212 North Fines. And it's the best fight card of all Spokane's put up probably in years. There's two girl fights. I have a great fight. There's a couple of belt fights. It's a great night of fighting. Everybody has to show up for sure.
Right on.
You want to tell me, what's your record, brother?
My record is 1-7, but I promise you I'm way better than that. I always take hard fights, no matter what it is. I always take it. I don't care. But I'm definitely better than a 1-7 fighter, and I will prove it to you guys if you guys show up.
Hey, look, first of all, I think I can speak for
everyone.
Go for it. Jason, go for it.
Hi, Colin.
Yo,
Skippy. Yeah, Chris. Go for it.
Hey, I'm also sitting here with fighter Herbert Morgan, actually. He's 3-11. I think he's actually won like six fights in my eyes, but he's actually on here with us, too. He's just sitting right here.
it's funny because we have, okay, this is a good thing because, you know, here in Oregon, we have a 4-loss and you're banned for life rule. And one
bullshit.
Of the interesting, oh, yeah, that, well, one of the interesting
totally
things
bullshit.
Is you got Christian Graves, okay? This is a fighter who was suspended recently for life. He's got 5 losses in a row, 4 are title fight decision split losses. Jason, what do you think when you hear something like that?
The first thing that went through my head was, is what is an 0-1, 0-2, 0-3, 0-4, 0-5-er doing fighting for a belt?
Is he hanging up on me?
I'm just what? Saying, man, that's my personal opinion, man. I mean, you know.
I agree with that wholeheartedly, man. Is that the case, though?
I'll tell you what, though. I'll fight anybody, anywhere, anytime, and they can, it doesn't matter what the record is.
You saying the guy lost 5 fights in a row, but what was his win streak? What was his win record?
He was 8-3 when he went on his losing streak.
Okay, man. I thought you were saying, like, if a fighter
goes 0-5,
they're out.
He was 8-3, and what he did was all of a sudden every single promotion on the West Coast wanted him to fight for a title. And every single loss but one was a split decision title loss. 5 rounds.
Well, how the hell,
you know?
How can you guys ban a fighter that's got 8 wins under his belt? I mean,
that sounds like a politics deal with the athletic commission to me. I don't know what else.
Who knows he can beat all your fighters?
I want to stay in good cahoots with the commissions no matter what, but all I got, you know, that's like saying some big douchebags back there going, the rules are the rules.
Well, I'll tell you what, you guys show up for the 15th at the Pines Gym. You guys are going to be surprised right now. I promise you that. I'll put fight of the night for sure. My 1-7 ass will put fight of the night for sure.
Well, I'll tell you what, 1-7 doesn't mean crap to me because I know Muay Thai fighters and MMA fighters and kickboxers who have upside down records. The thing is, you're still an amateur. This is your time to lose. So records don't count when you turn pro.
I've lost 3 fights in a row, but I can beat all my sparring partners up pretty bad, and they're winning right now, and I'm losing. What do I do?
You focus on what's you know, your weakness in these fights. Is it cardio? Is it striking? You know, whatever it is, you keep working and focus on that, and you get your record upside down, and when you turn pro, it don't matter.
I keep losing the third round. I keep getting fight of the night, but I keep losing the third round.
Are you a smoker?
Yeah, I'm going to smoke in the first round, this one. But.
No.
Are you guys familiar with Michigan, man? Are you familiar with what's going on over here?
No, I'm not aware,
but I probably feel the knock.
Oh, God. You guys, your rules are awesome, even as much as it sounds like it sucks, because we have none.
They want to use
we have
shin guards.
No rules. You know?
I'd rather go pro and get my ass whooped before I use shin guards.
I mean, you could walk in the cage with freaking glass glued to your knuckles,
and in
Michigan, it's okay, you know?
Yeah. Hey, Brandon, man, hey, good luck this weekend. I appreciate you taking the time to call in, man. Look, go out there, kick some ass, grab that big W, man. Let us know how you do, okay, brother?
Hey, thanks, man. I'm going to get the win for sure, okay? You guys have a great night.
We'll be there to carry on, Brandon.
All right, thanks, guys. Okay, have a good night. Bye.
Hey, guys, if you guys want to go back to talking about the tournament, or we can talk about the regulations and the states, because either way, it's a great conversation for me.
Let me just say this. I don't care if a fighter's 1-7, 5-15. If they're amateurs, they're getting their experience. You know, they're going in there, and you know, who cares? I mean, I can understand if you go in there and you're not defending yourself and you get knocked out 4 times in a row because, you know, that's obviously not safe. But, you know, if you're going in there and you're losing by decision, you know, what makes you think, you know, I'm sitting here with a 3-11 fighter, but to me, in my eyes, this dude wins every fight because he just fucking bangs. He's just a banger. Excuse my language, but,
you know
Herbert just fights.
Open show.
All right, that's good.
Let me bang, bro. Bang.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know what the rules are, but what's Oregon's policy with boxing? Do they have the same policy or what? I mean, if you lose four boxing matches in a row, are you then banned for life, or what's the? Hello?
Oh, he cut out, huh?
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Nah, he might be in the screening room. I don't know, but I don't personally.
Well, anybody else that's from Oregon or knows anything about it.
Well, are they two separate commissions in Oregon? Because like Michigan wants to bring the boxing commission in to govern MMA, so is Oregon the same way? Is it the boxing commission that's covering the MMA rules, or do they make a whole separate rules and kind of bring a different body together?
That's what the problem is. Now, look, we are actually, Madhouse has been at the meetings, and we're working with the state to fix it. We just had a big commission change here for a lot of dumb reasons, a lot of corruption, but the new ones in place took the original guidelines that weren't being followed and said, look, we have to implement them until we can change them. It's the rules. We can't be like the last commission and pick and choose.
So that rule's been around for a while then. It's not a new rule. It's just that they're enforcing it finally. Is that right?
And here's the thing is, when the original commission put the ORAs into law, they used boxing terminology. Well, when they took that definition of a four fight, they were looking at an average of 8 rounds. You're talking 28 rounds getting punched in the head versus possible, 12 rounds?
Right,
So that's what right now they're literally working to rewrite the OIRs with help from us and a few other organizations and gyms throughout Oregon, and they're going to address that to where the four loss rule will still be into effect more than likely, and the only thing is at the end of four losses you'll have to be reviewed by a panel of professionals and a medical review to continue fighting. That's all.
Hey, I'd be fine with that, man. That doesn't sound bad.
No.
It's about protective. As far as that goes. Oh, sorry.
I was just thinking. Yeah, go ahead.
What I was going to say is if a guy kind of what you were saying earlier, it kind of goes both ways though. If a guy's not defending himself, obviously cut him. But if a guy has taken, four decision losses, they're all title fights. Those are all 5-round fights. If he's getting the help or the piss beat out of him 4 times in a year, maybe he needs to take a little break himself, and focus on training more than fighting for a while.
Yeah, but
in
if you're
opinion,
the promoter, man, you got to think of it from a whole different point of view, man. If a guy went 2 fights with losses and wasn't defending himself, right? Are you a promoter that's going to come out and say, hey, next month I want you to fight on my card? Or are you going to be a cool promoter? And to me, this is a cool promoter that says, hey, motherfucker, you need to go get yourself in the gym for 6 months, and then you can come fight on my card again.
I agree wholeheartedly, and that's what I do. I tell these guys most of the time, I will tell them, hey, go get some training, man. There's no excuse to not train if you're going to fight in the sport. Skippy was saying that they were fighting for 5 separate guys, right? There were 5 different promotions, that guy that lost 5 in a row. So, nobody really knows. I mean, if those are all state-sanctioned fights.
Aren't you guys video? Yeah. I mean, is there video on these guys? You guys published, is that stuff as much out west as we focus on here, in the mid, Everyone believes in exposure over here, so everybody wants
the
their videos up. But
yes, people like Jesse, people like Budo Fights at Unified Combat League. Jesse, sorry, I should say that. I just assume everybody knows. People like Budo Fights. there are organizations here that do not only stream their events, but they're quick to make sure the state has the results, and so does the
underground. Right, but that's a source for other promoters to go in and check out those fighters that they're looking to book for their event. Now, it don't matter if that fighter fought for them a year ago. They should be looking at their fights and saying, wow, he's really taking dives now, man. He's really losing his touch. Why would they want to bring him on board anyway? Why wouldn't every single promoter work on researching who they're filling their card up with, they don't do it here either, but.
Well, look, definitely. I'll be honest, Budo Fights, I was just at his building the other day, and I saw the board, and it's something that
big
I'm privileged to see.
Big fan, by the way, of Budo. Yeah.
Oh, dude, I love them. Well, dude, they've already got their April card and their June card. They've already got temporary, you know, what they want to see in matchups, and he's got stockpiles of information on every fighter because, like you said, that's the difference. Like you and like Jesse and, you know, like Show Fights, these people do their research. Obviously, Show Fight's bringing in multiple title holders from around that region to compete in a tournament and top-ranked guys. They did their research, and that's the difference, I believe, in a good promotion. Go ahead.
I got a guy coming on tomorrow night that they should be checking out all over the freaking nation, man. I got this David Evans coming on tomorrow night. He's out of Detroit area, but he's going to be fighting up in Traverse City, man. The last show I did for WXC over here in Michigan, man, he fought on what was called the Night of Champions. And this is one of those fighters that wants his videos never to hit the waves, you know. He's like, I don't want anybody seeing how I fight. And I'm like, dude, you're phenomenal, you know. And now he's getting, ever since I publicized him, man, he's like, now he's heading up to Traverse City. But he's got a phenomenal record. And the bad thing, the whole point I'm making here is he loves it. And he's hanging in the pros so hard, or the Amis so hard. His record's like, I mean, he's got like 35, 40 fights in. And I told him flat out, dude, I should never be filming you again. Amateur combat sports should never even see you unless you're in a pro ring now, you know. And people milking the industry, because I know a lot of promoters do that, and it's not just a, you know, once in a while. This is all over the nation, man. Promoters are milking these Amis for like 20, 30 fights and not moving them up, and so they're keeping an eye on the wrong ones and trying to keep the money coming in their pockets that way too. So there's so much regulation that needs to happen, man. Like, how many times a fighter can fight in the Amis is a big one.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I don't think it should be up to a promoter when you should go pro or not. I think that should be strictly up to your coach, because your coach should know when it's time for you to go pro.
There's a fine line, though, man. There's guys that I know that should have turned pro a long time ago, just like he was saying, you know, and they're just, they don't want to go pro because everybody's tough at the pro level. They'd rather be known as a 15-0 or a 15-1 amateur than a 0-3 pro, you know, so, or a 1-1 pro or something along those lines. I agree.
It depends where you're at, because like where I'm at, there's a lot of straight up pussies that are pros, and there's, you know, and then there's the amateurs that are beasts. You know what I'm saying? Like, for some people, like the heavyweights, it would just be easier to go pro around here, because basically you get the same fights as you would in an amateur level. You know what I'm saying?
Hope,
a lot of people.
You better hope Kovacs doesn't call in.
Do what?
Oh my God!
You better hope Kovacs doesn't call in with that statement, man.
We had a pro Ami show up in up north in very north Michigan last week, man. And the promoter got so pissed off. He got so pissed off at the first pro fight that went on, the first one that night. These two guys were Amis that came in the exact opposite of what we're talking about. They wanted to be pros so bad, they went to pros, you know, they signed their pro cards way before they needed to, you know what I mean, before they should have. And they got in there, and it was like the worst fight I've ever seen in my life, period, man. It was so, the dude ended up quitting. So the promoter, he calls me up, he goes, you know what, don't even let that one go up. He's like, don't even put that fight up. Those guys don't even deserve to see that fight. I was like, man, this is pretty funny, dude.
Good,
but then, you got a whole different angle of the guys that want to go pro too fast, too, you know?
How do you do that? I mean, how do you – that's – to me, there's no way I would let a fight like that happen on one of my cards. Not as a pro, but
it happens
at the amateur level. I don't know, man. I'd just as soon pay. I'd just as soon have less pros on my card that are top level pros. If I'm doing a pro am, I'd rather have top level pros that I know are going to compete than a couple of
dudes.
Someday
I'll put up the audio of that for you guys, man. Dave the Butcher Clifford totally tore these guys up, man.
Speaking of guys, Jesse, who have had dealings with you. Let's bring on Mike McCray for a few minutes and talk to him.
Yep.
I know you, Mike. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, thanks.
Hey, welcome to Rogue. You're hanging out with a cast of characters from around the country. Why don't you give a shout-out to everybody who you are?
Hey, yeah, so I'm Mike McCray. I'm out of Sandpoint, Idaho, and I'm training with Black Bear Martial Arts Center in Sandpoint. I've been on quite a few. I had guys fight for Jesse quite a few times, and I've been down to the Spokane School of Boxing and training with some pretty serious dudes out here in the Northwest. So.
Right on.
His guys are going to be fighting on that same card that Brandon Sly is on. And Brandon's right, man. He's got a 1-7 record, but that card is literally, there's at least 6 or 7 fights on that card that could be title worthy or main event worthy, you know, at least half the card. And the rest of the card looks pretty good, too.
You know, it's interesting.
So, yeah.
I got caught up in you guys' conversation, and the whole time I was thinking about Brandon Sly, and like, his record is not very impressive, but that kid fights his heart out. I mean, he fought my boy Cody Smith, and it was a 3-round battle. And he displayed a lot of really good skill, defense, submission skills. I mean, he's a fighter, there's no doubt. I think he's just had really, really tough opponents. So it's hard to say, you know, should he be cut? No way. I mean, that kid fights his heart out every time, without a doubt.
But wouldn't you rather him have the toughest opponents for one of your fighters that they can possibly get as an amateur, whether they win or lose?
Well, you know, he was 0-2, and my guy was 0-1, so it seemed like a pretty good matchup at the time, and it was a battle.
That's something Kevin and I, Kevin Farger, the promoter for the Spokane School of Boxing MMA, that's the reason that we chose him to be our District 1 host for the UCL NORAM Championship, was for that reason. He's got some top-level guys in his gym, and his thought process is the exact same as mine, sounds like yours, that he would rather have guys at the amateur level, especially guys that are 5-5 against the toughest dudes in their divisions, than guys that are 10-0 against 10s, basically,
okay.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I think that Kevin, what he does is, I mean, he communicates, you know, he talks to me about my guys. Kevin's a really straightforward guy, and I don't know, like, I trust him. We talk about, you know, skill set and things like that, and we try to place good fights, and it's definitely happening. And I think that fight with Cody Smith and Brandon Sly, I'm not sure, but they were damn close to getting a fight of the night. I mean, it was a hell of a battle, and I know he's had a couple tough losses since then, but I've no doubt that that kid fights his heart out, so.
Chris, let me ask Chris Gregory. Hey, Chris, I know you're still on here. You're being real quiet tonight. Look, you're out there in another hub, you know, with amateur really blowing up. You know, what do you think, you know, when you see a guy on a card who's, you know, 5-2 facing, you know, a 3-0 guy or something? Do you guys over there care that much about your records as amateurs?
You know, some guys don't. You know, I'm sitting here with Herbert, and he takes tough fights. Like, his debut fight was versus a guy that was 5-1. That's just kind of how some promoters do it. Show fight, definitely not like that. But then you have sometimes when fighters back out at the last minute, and then you kind of just got to fill a spot. So, you know, I mean, I understand that. As far as this tournament, there was 12 guys originally supposed to be in it. You know, 4 guys backed out. Like, they just didn't even show up. And you know, I mean, JT Tilly was able, you know, to still pull the tournament off, you know, thank God, because, you know, that's like, I was ready for this single night tournament. And, you know, I went out of my way and did interviews with a lot of these guys. And, you know, it's just like, man, if you're not going to show up, don't sign up. You know what I mean? Like, look, I don't give a shit. If I sign up for a fight, even if I didn't train my heart out, I signed up for it. I'm going to be there and I'm going to fight. You know, and that's just the way I am, you know, and I don't know, you know, a lot of these guys do care about their records, and I think that that's why a lot of them backed out, because you got, you know, one of them that backed out, and you know, I'm not going to talk too much about him because he's a talented fighter, but it was Bernard Thomas. Bernard was on a fight last week that I went to and knocked out the welterweight champion, you know, and he fights at 155. He's a beast, you know, and he didn't even show up, man. And I think the reason why he didn't show up is he's almost ready to go pro, and he's scared that in this tournament he's going to get a loss to, you know, a tough guy, and it's going to hurt him. And really, you know, we all know that it's not going to hurt him. but fighters don't think that way. And
yeah, they
a lot
think
of
about
fighters,
their scouts and everything, you know. They think about
exactly.
People seeing them lose a lot. You know, well, that last one I saw, you never know when someone's
exactly.
watching, you know.
And here's the thing about the tournament. You got guys now in it. You got guys in it that's 5-2, you know, and they're willing to take on anybody. They don't care. You know, like how it's going to turn out is, you know, you got – and then let me just say this before we go on about anyone else. I want to say Katie Collins made 122 today. Red Dragon. That's Herbert's sister. I'm kicking it with Herbert right now. And
122?
Yeah, dude. And let me just say, she started fighting at what, 150? She started fighting at 150. And she
wow.
made it all the way down to 122. And she was drained, but she'll be ready to go tomorrow. And then
you got her on an IV right now or something?
Well,
at 122, that's a lot of weight.
Yeah, you know, she did it with the help of JT Tilly, and, you know, hey, she's tough. She works hard, and it's time for her to get a win. You know, she's 2-7 or something, and she's only fought champions. You know, that's a girl that she just doesn't give a shit. She's just down to fight. And her opponent actually backed out, but JT was able to fight an opponent, because that would have sucked for her. You know, she made 122, and then the opponent, you know, I don't know what's up with people these days, man. You know, I don't know what's
guys,
up with some of these
are
fighters.
Are you guys familiar with Cat Albany?
Do you guys
give them exposure. We give these fighters exposure. You know, we interview them for their upcoming fights, and then they don't show up. I feel like it's a slap in the face, man.
I don't know what your guys' thoughts are on it, but I feel that exposure works both ways. The UCL has instituted a hall of shame for guys that do a no-show, no-call, do all of that. You guys, you're open to a little bit of scrutiny by doing that. But again, you know, these guys don't. I think a lot of them don't realize how much effort the promoters and the matchmakers and their opponents go through. This girl's cutting. How much weight to get, and cutting weight is miserable. And then for them just to not show, that's a slap in the face to them. It's a slap in the face to their coach, to their opponent's coach, their opponent, everybody. And that needs some accountability on as far as
yeah,
I'm concerned.
Their excuse
and
is always valid, though. You know what
here,
I mean?
Let me,
dude,
let me tell
oh,
you
dude,
something.
My,
yeah. Let
yeah,
me tell
like
you something about my area. Let me just tell you something about my area. Is that one promoter... All right, look, so Showfight is having this big event, you know, this tournament. Well, then you'll have another promoter from the area calling the fighter saying, oh, don't fight in this tournament. It's bad for you. It's bad for you, you know. He's setting you up to fail. And really, that's false. And that's just the way some promoters work around here. Luckily, I was able to actually get this tournament. What's funny about this tournament is I actually helped.
Must
actually
be a fucking virus.
Get it. Yo,
sorry.
Hey, keep talking, man. We're not in the same room as him, so whatever's really funny is not funny to us.
Well, that's kind of funny.
No, I was talking about the promoters acting like that, man. And I said it must be a virus because it's not just your area. It's not just your area, bro. It's everywhere, man.
Everywhere. Yeah, and here's the thing is that I was able to, like, get two promoters together in order to do this tournament. And I felt like, man, finally these promoters got their heads out of their asses. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, finally we'll get some, you know, some co-promotion and we'll get, you know, the fighters from all the different promotions in the area actually getting together, and that didn't happen. So you know.
That's kind of, I hate to keep plugging the NORAM Championship, but that was kind of one of the things that we did. Is we made it for these host promotions. If, say, they have a night where, you know, three or four guys, if they have some injuries pop up or something like that, they're able then for the initial tournaments or for the initial rounds of their tournament to call a neighboring promotion and put a replacement fight onto their card. If they can't make it happen on their night, help out another promoter and put that fight on their card And that way they're still getting a winner that's advancing into the through their tournament. I think that works out great, man. It promotes, I guess, good relations between promoters too. But that's only going to work between solid promoters, in my opinion. There's a lot of jokes.
Well, you're exactly right, man.
You're not doing multi tournaments. You're doing like tournaments throughout. Like you're just doing tournaments. I didn't get that. I didn't catch that or not.
Sorry?
You're just doing like tournament format. You're not doing like one night tournament, right?
Yeah, no, it'll be a 16-man tournament over 4 or 5 shows. If the host promotion wants to split their first round, 16 guys at 155 for one night, that's a lot of 155ers to find. So if they want to split it between 2 shows, they can do that just fine with that first round. Do, 3 shows, three 155 tournament series rounds. Or fights for the first round, then do 5 for the next show cap off their, quarterfinal round of the 16-man tournament. So they've got a little bit of leeway to work, is what I'm saying.
But do you got a payback situation or what, man? I mean, if let's say I'm a promoter, right, and I'm not, mm-hmm. but, and I'm saying, all right, I'm going to throw these guys on your card, man. They were injured a couple months back, but they can do this fight now, okay? So now you've got this extra exposure on your card. Are you then in turn required to send me as good a fight over to my next card?
Nope, not at all. If that's basically you're helping them out and they're helping you out. It's cross promotion. You're helping them by giving them an extra solid fight on their card, and they're helping you out by keeping your 16-man tournament intact.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah,
well, I still feel the stuff in there, like, you know.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear you there.
Go ahead, man. I'll wait.
Oh, I just
wanted to chime in and say that
I was
really excited to see Jesse partner up with Spokane School Boxing. It's nice to see some agencies work together for a change. I don't know. It almost seems at times like they try to time their events at the same time. And that may be where some of the bad blood and the bad mouthing comes in, because they're like they all seem to be competing within the same 2 weeks to host events, whereas it's just cool that Jesse's coming out to Spokane. It's a lot closer to our area, so we're definitely excited about that. And another thing is you all are talking about no shows and all this stuff. I think you'd see a lot less of that if the fighters could get, I know this isn't everybody, but more notice. It just seems like we are constantly getting short notice fights, and not necessarily from Jesse or even Spokane School Boxing, but there are some other guys in the area. It's like a week before the fight, they want to know if we want to fight, and that's just silly. I mean, guys, they're just not ready at that pace. I mean, you need at least 2-3 weeks, and
definitely.
I think that
proper camp's a month
guys.
To 6 weeks, but that's in a perfect world, right? So
right.
I think it's just a lot of guys having to fill spots, especially in Spokane. There's just so many promoters there that are trying to scratch a living, and it's kind of, I don't know if it's going to get better or worse once the new laws go through with the athletic commission, with Washington's athletic commission, but. Yeah, I don't know. It's almost got to be a necessary evil, I guess. It's going to make it harder on the promoters to make money, but at the same time, it's going to push out a lot of the riffraff that creates that issue that you're talking about, Mike. So at least then, hopefully, the best guys are going to stick around, or at least the most established guys and the guys that are competent enough to give you enough notice, if that makes sense.
No, I agree with that
100%. How about, you got to look at it like, aren't you trying to breed the Amis into pros? Why aren't you treating them like that? Why aren't you giving them a two-and-a-half to three-month notice? When they go to pros, they've got a three-month leeway before they can even take another fight after a fight, let alone a three-month wait after that fight before they can, So there's a six-month gap, man. There's like this. And they should be being treated the same way, and it doesn't have anything to do with the promoters. It has everything
not only
to do
that,
with their
coaches. It does, though. It does. As far as I'm concerned, when guys fight for me, on even on our qualifier cards on the smaller, you know, they're basically smokers down here in Tamiya. Even on these smaller cards, we still try and treat our competitor, all of the guys on the cards and their cornermen as close to what they would be receiving at the pro level, whether they're debut amateurs or they're ready to turn pro. We try and treat them as close as we can because we want to acclimate them for that. You know, we've had shows where cornermen are like running around the cage, like talking to their guys, and you know, in a lot of pro shows, you're getting a lot of shit for that. So, you know, we try and acclimate these guys as best as we can. Obviously, we don't quite have the resources on a smaller card like that where you've only got 300 or 400 people in the crowd. But, you know, again, we still do our best to do that exact thing that you're talking about. And you know, sometimes 3 months is too much, but, you know, again, we try and give as much notice as we can. So
you've always given us lots of notice, Jesse, for sure. So.
Hey, Mike, why don't you give a shout-out, tell everybody where they can find you on any social medias or websites. If you got any sponsors, show them some love, too, real quick.
Right, I appreciate that. Black Bear Tang Sudo in Sandpoint, that's the martial arts center that I'm training at. If anybody wants to get a hold of me, they can email me at MikeMcCrayBJJ@gmail.com. We got jiu-jitsu classes, we got MMA classes, and we do combatant training. And we love going down to these events and having a good time and wrecking some house. So.
Well, yeah, I appreciate you calling in and kicking back with us tonight, man. Let us know how your boys do on the upcoming fights.
Will do. Yeah, and hey, thanks a lot, Jesse. Appreciate all the work you do, and looking forward to the 15th. So we'll see you then.
Right on, man. We'll
see you
there.
Around, Mike.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
That gym they've got there is in the town of Sandpoint, but like everybody there, they've got a really good thing going, man. These guys are solid dudes. All of them are tough guys, and they're all training their asses off. You were talking about that girl that lost all that weight. One of their, I think the guy's fighting at 155 now, or 145 rather. That guy, when I first met him, or just before I first met him, he just got into jiu-jitsu at the time, a couple years back. His name's John Hale. This guy was like, from what I was told, like 210, 220 pounds, and he is now fighting at 145. This dude looks like he's carved out of freaking granite now, man. So, and that's all through training with, you know, the Grapplers Guild guys, and now with the Black Bear Martial Arts guys. So all of those dudes are top-notch dudes. So
just
wanted to give them a quick plug.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Hey, since we, you know, can abuse the fact that Chris Gregory works for us, I got to ask you, Chris, you know, we're talking all about tournaments. Obviously, you're going to be watching a tournament live tomorrow. One question I haven't heard anybody ask you on any show or any interviews, who's your pick to win this tournament, bro?
Oh, man. I was on the Bernard Oliver show. He's an Emmy Award producer earlier, and he asked me the same thing, and I told him, I was like, look, man, I can't call this tournament. I said, I got too many people that I've been supporting for a long time in this tournament. Daniel Blair is in this tournament.
Madhouse Fighter.
You know, yes, Madhouse Fighter. Look, he's the show fight featherweight champion, but, you know, this is definitely a test. You know, you got guys like Jason Powell, 16-6. You know, Caleb Dye, 8-3, which they're actually fighting each other in the first round. I actually have the first round here actually in front of me right now. And you know, it really sucks. Those other guys backed out. Did you see the show fight poster?
I did. I got to ask you, did they do the blind draw at weigh-ins?
Well, what had to happen is because there's three teammates and two brothers, is that they had to kind of put them in different sides of the bracket. There's two brothers in here. There's two brothers, and they're willing to fight each other. And the teammates,
cool.
They were down, dude. The teammates were great. They were like, oh, yeah, we'll fight each other. He's been deserving an ass-whipping for a long time. Like, it was just, they were all in good spirits. They were having fun with it, and I love it. That's Caleb Dye, Hardy, and... what's the other kid's name? Oh, man, I can't even believe that I forgot. Oh, and Corey Hines.
those kids, they were like, screw it, we'll fight each other, we don't care. So I was like, that's awesome. But they kind of had to put them in different sides of the brackets because, you know, you don't want to fight your teammate the very first fight. And I understand that. So it was kind of a blind draw, but you know, they also had to work with the records because, you know, you can't have a guy that's 16-6 fighting the dude that has the least amount of, you know, the least amount of fights. And I agree with that. So what happened was it's 5-0, Ross Campbell versus Sam Smith, which is 4-1. Then you got T.J. Brown, 7-0, and he's trained by Rolly Delgado, fighting my boy Daniel Blair, which is the show fight champion. And I think he's like 5-1. His official record is 4-2, but I know he won that fight. That he had this dude mounted, right? Daniel Blair had this dude mounted, just raining down punches on him. And because he was cut open on the top and was bleeding down on the dude, they stopped the fight. And basically, it was a cut. Yeah, dude, it was bad. So I call him 5-1. Plus, he's my boy, so you know what I'm saying? I got to give him that one. And then you got Jamal, which is 5-2 versus Hardy, which Hardy, he's 6-3. And they just fought, I think, 2 weeks ago. And Hardy went from go-go plata to armbar, dude. It was nasty in like a minute and 30. So I know Corey Jamal is looking to get, you know, some revenge. And then you got Caleb Dye, 8-3 versus 16-6. Jason Powell, he's tough. And then you got Corey Hines, which is 4-5 versus DeMarco Johnson, and he's 4-2.
Oh,
what happened was there were several other guys that, you know, they were 16-3 and blah blah blah, and you know they backed out. So it sucked. But you know, I love guys like this that are willing to step up and, you know, fight. They were just alternates, and now they're in the tournament. So you know, I respect that. And then you got Katie Collins versus, I don't know, whoever her new opponent is. Her other opponent could weigh 140, so that wasn't happening.
Okay,
she couldn't break 140, yeah. And Katie was like, well, I'll fight her, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, they weren't going to allow. You know how Katie is. She's like, I'll fight her. But, you know, here's the thing is that would be a bad move for Katie because, you know, she made 122. I mean, you know, she was only supposed to make 25. She went, you know, way beyond what she was supposed to. And she did it because she respects the sport and, you know, she's willing to fight anyone. I love that. So her opponent tomorrow is going to be whoever her opponent was, one of her teammates. So Katie's like, I'll fight her. I don't give a shit, you know. And then Brianna is fighting some chick that, I don't know, she also couldn't make it down to weight. But Brianna was like, I'll fight her and I'll eat some food tonight. So so it was great. Like, it actually worked out real well. Like, Brianna was like, I'll just eat some food and we'll weigh in tomorrow at the weigh-in. Because I'm not going to not fight. Because here you can't be within, you have to be within 5 pounds of each other. So, I mean, you can't be more than 5 pounds away.
Regardless of what the weight set was,
yeah.
Like whether you were fighting 25 or, yeah.
Exactly. Yes, and like I guess heavyweight.
Well, what about heavyweights?
In my fight, it was 9 pounds, but like the dude had lost too much weight, so I had to cut weight. And I was like, dude, I'm a heavyweight. Like, what the hell do I have to cut weight for? I'm like, I'll try to eat.
Yeah, super heavy is just wide open, you know.
Yeah, I don't know how that works in AMI though. As far as super heavyweight, I guess it's just wide open.
Yeah, I could show you some vids, man. We're talking like 225ers, 245ers against like 350, you know. Like, seriously sad matchups, man. And it's usually the bigger guy that loses anyway because they always, you know, as the term goes, they gas out, man. They, you know, and but, yeah, like catch weights is a big thing going on right now. A lot of people, a lot of promoters here in the state now are throwing out catch weight and just to kind of keep it so the fighters don't have to, you know, work so hard about getting their weight, you know, right and everything. It's just kind of like a loophole for them, I guess. They're just kind of, I don't know. Anyway, somebody's going to listen to this show, and I'm going to lose a lot of jobs.
Do they do same-day weigh-ins or day before, or what's the...
Night before, usually, man. We usually do, like, a Friday night weigh-ins, a Saturday night fights.
I won't let anybody in our show, if they're cutting weight, we won't let them weigh in same day at all. Like, that's not safe as far as I'm concerned, especially if they're cutting a lot of weight.
Those kids.
It's the night before.
Death row.
Yeah.
Here it's the night before, but if you can't make it, you know, if you definitely can't make it, or you're going to be close to your weight, then you can weigh in the next day at 4 p.m. But that's only, like, special, you know, like you couldn't make it to the weigh-ins or something like that before they close the doors at the weigh-ins. So, you know, I understand that. That makes sense.
They already have to be close, though, right? I mean, they can't, the liquid that you lose, the first place your body goes to take that liquid is around your brain. That's the cushion around your brain, right? So you're taking punches to the head with no cushion, right? So that's not good for you, man. So,
yeah, I don't think people that are cutting weight like that would, you know what I'm saying, that would weigh in on the same day. That would just be not a smart choice as a fighter or a promoter to let them do that.
Yeah.
No, I've seen these kids on the verge of death on weigh-in day, man, you know. And, I mean, they're just, their eyes are sunk in. They look like raccoons, you know. I mean, and all they're waiting for is for the pasta to hit the table after they hit the scale, you know. And, then the next day it looks like they're back up to, like, they'll go from, like, you know, 150 to 175 in the night, you know.
Yeah, that's pretty, I've seen dudes put on 25 pounds overnight pretty easy. Too. So, you know, that's pretty wild. They come in the next day, they look like a bear, man. They were skeleton the night before, and they come in the next day looking like a monster. So
now, let me ask you guys, as promoters, because both you guys, and you too, Chris, this question throws out to you, because I believe you might have something to say about this, but what do you think about a percentage rule, that you can only lose a percentage of what your street weight is?
I don't know, because wrestlers, you know, they could do, I don't know, you know, it just depends. I don't know exactly.
Is that why you're asking that? Is because of the bounce back, the gaining weight, then it throws the whole fight off balance at that point, so why not just say a percentage?
Well, no, my thinking is because only in America has Western wrestling changed our sport to where people are making drastic weight cuts. 80% of the fighters outside the United States are within 8 to 10 pounds of their fight weight when they walk the street. You know, you look at guys like the 205 champ in Bellator, Christian Nathumbu, or however you say his name. He weighed in at 205 with jeans on. I've read many interviews. He walks the street at about 208. You know, his whole career has been at 205. You look at any other country where Western wrestling has not dominated this sport as of the last 3 years, and you don't see drastic weight cuts. So that's why I was just curious,
I think it's a give and take, man. You know, there's pluses and minuses to it. The big plus, obviously, is that you're getting, you know, if a guy's cutting 20 pounds to make weight, he's going to show up to the, you know, I mean, it, well, I guess unless he misses weight, but he's taking the sport seriously, because that's miserable. You know, I don't know if you guys wrestled, but it is absolutely miserable cutting weight, especially the old wrestling way. You know, there's a couple of new, like the Dolce diet I've heard is really good, and you know, it's not quite as hardcore for your body, but it's miserable, man. And so I think if you're cutting all of that weight and you're not doing it right, you're going to come in weaker. So you're actually, you know, fine. You'll have 10 pounds or 15-pound weight advantage, but you're going to be, you know, at 70% strength. So, you know, it's a definite give and take, man. There's a science to it, for sure.
I believe as amateurs, there's, you know, with them not collecting a paycheck, and I'll be honest, Lapaki's the one who makes this statement the most, is, you know, as an amateur, why are you – making those drastic weight cuts until you're one or two fights away from turning pro. You should be able to fight in a weight class. Go ahead.
And I can see the merit to that argument, but again, it goes back to what we were talking about a little while ago. At the pro level, most everybody is cutting weight, and you know, you want to acclimate yourself for that because, you know, again, like if you're fighting at 170, you're going to be fighting dudes that walk at 190, 195 at the pro level, whereas at the amateur level, if you're not used to cutting weight, man, that's huge, you know. So as far, I mean, again, it's a goods and bads to it for sure. But, you know, I think that they should acclimate themselves as best they can for, you know, guys that are fighting at 45 or 55 now and they want to turn pro and fight at 35. In my mind, they should be fighting at 35 from the get-go so that when they do turn pro, they're acclimated already to that weight. They already know how to make the cut. They already know the opponent's speed and strength, the whole shebang, man. As far as I'm concerned, I mean, you know, obviously there's different opinions, but.
Well, and that's what this whole show is about, is just us bullshitting and talking about how we feel. Because I look at it like this. I'm so sick and tired of somebody at 55 getting their ass kicked and dropping to 45s thinking, I'll be the bigger guy in that division. I mean, it's starting to become almost a joke to where if you lose in the UFC, you drop a weight class. You know, I think it's, you know, I don't think it's healthy for the sport. I don't think it brings out the best competition. Look, if you are going to fight at 135 and you can't beat everybody in the division and take the championship, dropping down to 125, what does that really prove?
Yeah.
Make them sign a 3-year promissory note that says that they'll stay at a certain weight class. You know?
There you go. There you go. I like that. You know, I'll be honest, you know, Jason's my hookup, you know, for all information I need out in Michigan. What is your average 2 weight classes that are filled the most?
Oh, God, dude. It's straight up. It's always 155, 170. And then right now there's a huge push at 135s. And we've got a few, you know, popularity is 135, 155, 170. You can't find any 205ers, really, far few in between. Anybody that's up in the heavyweight is usually out of shape. We've got a few hardcore fighters up in the heavyweights, but, you know, nobody, it's... Well, you gotta look at the sport too, man. I mean, it's mixed martial arts, and I make this joke around here, and people, you know, I mean, it's pretty funny that these kids are martial artists. Most of them have been doing this for quite a few years, and why? Because they were little nerds that got beat up in school that started karate and started a few other different martial arts, you know, and then they said, wow, I can do this, and now they're bulking up and they're becoming that big dude, but they're still short. They're still, you know, small in frame, and we're not getting a lot of bigger guys, even though Michigan's technically like a fat-ass state. You know, I mean, typically we all walk around at better than 200, but, you know, the fighters themselves are typically all in the 155 to 170 range, man.
I agree. It's about the same here. Like, there's only a few heavyweights that are, you know, top-level heavyweights. There's not really any, actually. There's Jason Shrek and Trotsky. I don't know. That's it. That's all I can say.
We got a guy. Go ahead. I'm sorry, man. I don't mean to interrupt.
No. That's the only. What I'm saying is that's the only good heavyweight in our area is Jason Shrek or Trotsky. He's 9-0 as an Ammy. I think he should go pro real soon. So Michigan's kind of a small state, man.
I mean, it's sort of a big state, but the northern part of Michigan is so sparse, you know what I mean? Like, it's mostly woodlands and forests. So, you know, we got a guy up there, Big John, that brings everybody around from, like, you know, 5-6 counties, and he pretty much controls that. But down here in the southern part of the state, yeah, it's the same story, man. I mean, even in the heavyweight divisions, you just can't find – we got one guy we just flat-out call him Stepping Stone. You know, because he's a heavyweight, but all he is he's a way for someone else to get a win. He's never won, ever. He's like 14 fights deep. And,
he just likes talking to girls in the bar telling everybody he's an MMA fighter, that type of guy.
Yeah, we just call him the stepping stone, man. Hey, we need the stepping stone in here, bro. Somebody needs a win.
That's a fucked up thing, man.
Oh, man, that's messed up.
Right. He don't know that, though. You know, you guys, it's funny talking with you guys, bro, because, you know, you two are promoters, you know what I'm saying? Chris, Jesse, right? You guys are throwing shows, right?
No, I'm just a media guy, man. I hang out with the promoters,
amen.
You know what I'm saying? I hang out.
Yeah.
I just hang out.
Like,
but I see their stress.
You know as well as I
stress.
Do then, man. The promoters call us, and they talk to us, man, and it's like, you know I'm a reporter, right? You shouldn't be telling me that, but that's okay, man. I'll keep it between us, you know. But being able to hang out and really shoot the shit about, you know, I mean, if people listening would understand that, you know, where the foundation of this is like the show is a pain in the ass to do, man. I mean, you know, there's so many variations with following rules. Jesse, follow me here, man. I mean, you know, making sure that everything is on key and, like, you've got nobody can throw a fucking stone at you is one of the hardest damn things to do in this sport because everyone's trying to freaking dog each other and, you know, you got promoters fighting against each other and fighting for space and, you know. It's so hard to just perform the show, but then, it just goes back to our conversation. You got fighters that are screwing their own careers up, cutting weight when they shouldn't. They're not showing up for fights when they should. You know, I mean, I've got Skippy, Chris, you got production, you know. We got to put – you guys say it's a bitch slap to the coaches and the gyms when a fighter backs out. Fuck, man, I just put in probably about 7 to 10 hours of creating the whole show for that night by filling in names and stats and everything, and then all of a sudden that dude's not there.
Yeah, so the monkey wrench in your whole program. Yeah, no, I agree, man. That's kind of funny that the promoters, when I first got started, I kind of made the general mistakes, man. I did one show, and it did really well. It sold out. We had to turn people away at the door.
Nice.
You know, it did really well, and I figured, well, yeah, I'm the next hot thing, right? So I moved into a bigger venue and sold about, you know, 60-70% capacity. And, you know, that's in a small town, too. This town that we're in is only like 1,200 people, and the venue seats 600. So, you know, that's to fill that venue, you've got to have a pretty serious show going on. But then we decided, all right, well, that was just a fluke. That's the only reason we didn't make money on that show is because, you know, we made excuses, in other words. So we figured the next thing we'll do is we'll go and those are tribal sanctioned shows, and the tribe lets us get away with quite a bit. I mean, they're really good to us. They cut a lot of the red tape that is unnecessary, as long as we are doing everything that we need to be doing to make sure the fighters are safe, everybody gets paid and everything. Well, then we decided to jump into an Idaho state sanctioned card. That was our show up in Sandpoint, and to go from a show with 300 or 400 people to a show with, you know, 1,200 or 1,300 people, and in a much bigger area, in a much bigger venue, in with state sanctioning. Idaho state sanctioning is really, really strict, really hard on us, or it was then, anyways.
That's what I heard, man. I did a show out there in Illinois, and everybody come over from Idaho to Illinois because of the difference in rules, you know.
Yeah, well, the deal was, we got up there, and I mean, it was literally that morning. I got gray hair in my beard over that show, man. Like, you know, I was a spring chicken before that show, man, and now I'm like a raggedy old man. And you know, we've stayed kind of on the outer rims of the areas where everybody's really competing with each other. And we heard guys, promoters, calling venues, masquerading as promoters that have shows booked and canceling events for guys, you know, call just dirty shit these guys were doing, man. And I mean, when people were calling us wondering, you know, asking us if we had any information on it. And I'm like, dude, I don't even want anything to do with this, you know? So to the shows are hard enough as it is. The matchmaking is even worse than the shows as far as I'm concerned. And then on top of it, you've got to deal with shady promoters, man. After a while, we were just like, screw it. We're just going to do our own thing, focus on ourselves, and the people that we know are solid, And that's when things kind of turned around for us. We started doing a lot better. So
that's cool, man. It happens everywhere, man. Do you know how bad it is being not sanctioned in Michigan? We have probably, God, man, probably about 80, right around 85 promotions in Michigan alone. And
yeah.
None of them are sanctioned. You know, I mean, there was a guy last year that threw a fight at a barn with hay bales. Literally.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. No,
but, if it's hay bales for a ring?
Yes.
Holy Christ, that's wild.
Jason, clarify this for everybody. Explain this to me again. I'm sorry. I might be a little messed up right now. So.
All right, so the little bitch-ass Cody Colson. Oh, did I say that promoter's name? I didn't mean to. Did I just say that on the air? Nobody's listening. Anyway, so this chump-ass promoter, man, and he does it all the time. But, yeah, dude, he threw it at a barn at a freaking farm, and he had them stack up hay bales about 2-3 high for the guys to fight inside of. And
What happens if they go to the ground?
Oh, dude, they were fighting in dirt, man.
Oh, my God, man. That's probably a bunch of cow shit and stuff. Oh, man, that's brutal.
You want to know what the funny part was?
If there was a mat down, it'd be cool.
Oh, the funny part was is that they had the banners, you know, like you typically have at your event. They had them draped over the hay bales for their sponsors and stuff. You know, it's like, hey, guys, look, we still showed your banner. We still did our sponsor job, right?
Could you imagine trying to sell sponsorships for that show? Like, hey, man, I got a show. You really want to get your business behind the show, man. Where's it going to be at? Oh, in my uncle's barn. It's going to be in my uncle's barn. We're going to drape your banner over the side of a couple of hay bales and let some guys go at it in some pig manure.
Right now, for anybody out there who doesn't know Jeff from Clinch Custom Mouth Guards, I guarantee you if that dude sponsored an event, come to find out his shit was draped over a hay bale after the contract, he would probably get into that hay ring and beat the shit out of the promoter. I tell you right now. I guarantee it. Oh.
Judge, yeah, right
oh,
on.
Oh, man. That's brutal.
I've talked with Jeff a few times now over the last couple months, man. And, yeah, he's definitely got fire in him, man. That's for sure. I could see him doing it.
I mean, could you imagine as a sponsor to find out that just, first of all, it was in a barn, but then they just drape your shit over some hay bales?
That's brutal.
It's fucked up, man. Just this week, we made a, you know, you talked about the Hall of Shame earlier, right? Like your little Hall of Shame for fighters. Well, as a media group, it's really hard to shit on anyone, you know what I mean? Just to put it frankly. And, but so I decided, hey, this one promotion needed it, man. Now, there's one thing when a dude's training for a lot of years and, you know, he's older and that happens. You know, we got a guy we call Grandpa. His name is Don Williams. He's fighting show fights and stuff down in Missouri as well as up here. Anyway, this dude's like 65 years old. Looks like he just walked off the street. And then to fade away all doubt after the show during the interview, he said, yeah, I was drunk off my ass. I was like, oh, are you kidding me, dude? Are you really kidding? You just, so I blasted him, man, and I put him up in the ACS Hall of Shame. And, I was like, that's it, man. You guys need to stop doing promotions. There's no sanctioning, man. There's nobody to tell everybody no. That's the bad thing, you know.
If there's no sanctioning, I mean, isn't there, there's some quality, really top-notch promotions in Montana, but there's still no sanctioning there. But that's kind of the story I'm hearing, is that every day or every week there's a new promotion that pops up, and 3 weeks later it's out of business. That's evidently not the case in Michigan.
Michigan absolutely has great promotions, bro. Really, we do. I only work for
competition-wise. The guys, I mean, you have a lot of new guys popping up all over the place where it's real easy. It happens around here a lot. It happens with a lot of fighters. They'll get in, they'll do like one or two amateur fights, and they start thinking to themselves, shit, there's 500 people here, and he's charging $25 at the door. You know, that's X amount of dollars for me. My math's not real good, but that's X amount of dollars for me. And then they just go start a promotion, you know. So in Montana, it seems to be that way. Really good promotions there
that
tell me the same thing.
You know, Fight Force, who I would honestly consider the only legitimate promotion in that state, and I'll say that openly. First of all, they run a very tight ship. They do use sanctioning body rules from another state that they implement themselves as a promotion. And they do rep, I know they rep in, what, six cities there. They do events year-round in those six cities. And that's the only promotion in that state that I could say legitimately does it right. But obviously everybody here, we've all seen the backyard, you know, promotions pop up and stuff. And I got to say that I think it's horrible for the sport. And I would love to see guys like, you know, Jason and guys like Jesse and you guys like JT Tilly, you know, down at Show Fights, continue to progress their products so we can push out the shit one. And, you know,
well, that's the thing. That's why I say it's kind of a good and bad. I'm when it comes to government agencies, I think that kind of my saying is those who can't do teach, and those who can't teach get into government. That's been pretty much the policy for most of the athletic commissions that I've worked with. Are full of retards for the most part. You know, that's why I'm such a huge proponent of tribal sanctioning. And I kept so much flack for saying that, but the tribe that sanctions us here is a better athletic commission than the state ever could ever hope to be. But at the same time, I feel like they need to institute some rules. Like in Washington, the amateur level, pretty much anybody can start an amateur promotion easy, and there's very little red tape that they have to jump through. But now with the new rules coming along, I cringe when I hear that the state is cracking down on promotion, but at the same time, I feel like it's a necessary evil to get rid of all the riffraff.
This is a perfect entry because we're going to bring Jeff on, who not only is a state ref and judges events and has done them on and off reservations in that state. So, Jeff, you there, brother?
Hey, Bales.
Hey, Bales, Jeff.
Get the fuck out of here. I'd be setting up another fight with a promoter.
I think that Nathan Long fought there, too, if I'm not mistaken.
That's funny. Jeff, what do you – I mean, look, you know, we're talking about it. You've done fights right now at this point in Washington on and off of reservations. Do you feel that the reservations might have their shit together a little better?
No. But I don't think they're any worse, really. It's all the promoter. It's all the group that's running it. It's not really – it doesn't matter where it is so much. It's just whoever you're getting involved with, are they experienced, they know what they're doing. It doesn't seem to make a difference where it is here. I think that this – you know, some of these new rules I don't like, but I don't like the shin pads thing. I hate it. But some of the other things, it's probably good. It's going to clean out some of these turds that are on the bottom just throwing stupid fights to people who just get hurt at and – no one goes to watch anyway, so I should clean it up a little bit, but I hate the extra fines and fees.
Brings money into an issue where it shouldn't be.
Florida's got shin guards. I think Ohio's got shin guards.
Pennsylvania, New Jersey.
Yeah. It sucks, man. Like, my cousin throws a show down in Florida. And actually, I just found out about it like a year ago. I didn't even know he was doing it. But anyways, but that's... Art of Fighting, AOF out of Florida, yeah. And he's like, man, can we work something out where maybe we bring some fighters up north? Because I got guys that don't want to wear shin guards, you know. And I'm like, yeah, man, let's see what we can work out, you know. Make it happen, but we're not sanctioned, so then it's horrible for the fighters, you know. Or, you know, they can't.
Do they have to wear shin guards at the pro level, too?
What's that? I'm sorry.
Do they have to wear shin guards at the pro level, too?
No, God, no. Pro rules are pro rules. Shin guards are just to save the ammies, man. It's just to keep them from bashing each other's faces in and, you know, keep them fresh for the pros. That's all it's stupid. About.
There's some strange things up here with this one. It's because with the ammies up here, the shin guards are required for with whatever sanctioning body, unless you hire the state. to sanction the show. If you hire the state to sanction the show, well, then you don't have to have more. Then they don't have to wear shin guards, which doesn't really make any sense to me. How it's going to be any safer, just because the, you know, the state are there watching them fight without shin pads, and I don't quite get that. I don't see the
no shin guards.
What
they can throw elbows.
Is that supposed to to promote state sanctioning, or what's the
I guess, what's the
rules there? Why?
What else could it be for? I mean, it costs a little bit more to use them, but I don't see any other thing. There's no benefit. I don't know. I just don't understand how it's safer. It's not any safer if Joe's watching me or Jim's watching me kick people.
As far as I'm concerned, that's a clear case of politicians making rules for MMA rather than them putting in MMA fighters or politicians or boxing ex-boxing guys making rules for MMA rather than MMA guys making rules for MMA. On the athletic commission level, as far as I'm concerned. So that was the big issue in Idaho, is that the athletic commission now in Idaho is great. They got rid of a lot of the riffraff, and they put in guys that they may not have known as much about MMA as they could have, but they also knew that as well. They went into it with that knowledge, and they came in and said, look, we want to sit down with you guys. We want to figure out which rules are safe. We want to, you know, we'll cut you slack in certain areas if it's needed and it's safe, and
right.
We'll tighten up on you in other areas if it's needed, but we're at least going to give you a little leeway. And that was great when that happened. Unfortunately,
well, our guy here is the commissioner, the former commissioner himself, Al Lowe, you know, and that's our Michigan guy. To touch base on what point you're making there, Al has actually taken like the last 5-6 years of straight studying MMA. You know, I mean, he come from the boxing commission, you know, and so he took up MMA, and he follows around Joe Battaglia and Donna Frio and everybody, and he goes to the gyms. I mean, he's really understanding the sport to make the rules right, you know.
Those guys, as far as I'm concerned, those guys are few and far between in a lot of cases. It is getting better, but, you know, I applaud those guys all day long, but that's unfortunately not the case from what I've seen the majority of the time. You know, I hate to sound like a pessimist, but, you know, that's just my experience.
Why you got to poo-poo everything, man?
Sorry, man. Oh, shit. I'm sorry, man. I just, the state in Idaho, they're working towards getting better, and they're actually in a lot better place than when we did that first state-sanctioned show in Sandpoint. But, you know, they've got a long ways to go. But, again, they're working towards that. I don't know what's going to happen in Washington. I've heard mixed results, and, you know, on their athletic commission. I don't know, really. So.
Right on. I'm looking forward to seeing, like, a unified national rules, you know. That's what I would like. I mean, the sport's already big enough worldwide that there should be just regular freaking national rules, man. I mean, what's so hard about that? You know, why not just take the rules that are pro rules and insert safety measures for ammies? What's so hard about that? I mean, it should take guys an hour. It should take about an hour and a half.
Hey, they do it for pro and college football. You know,
exactly.
Let's be honest, MMA is basically pro and college football. Kids under 10 are high school. They're learning the sport. They're getting trained, getting to learn conditioning and teamwork. Then you get to that college level, that's your amateur career in MMA. And then when you hit the pros, that's your NFL. And the rules are consistent all the way through in that sport: baseball, basketball, hockey, boxing, karate, K-1. I mean, we should have an ABC of MMA. And, you know, I'm going to be the first to say this because I personally just don't like the douchebag. But I think Dana White and Zuffa should step up and start the nonprofit by putting a donation out to get it started.
He came, you know, he said that it should be Olympic Committee, whatever. We've all seen the video, and then they blasted out that, Dana hates the Emmys. No, he doesn't hate us. He just wishes that the Olympic Committee would come in and do something about it, you know?
I don't mind, I think you know, with Dana, I get, you know, a lot of people hate Dana, but, you know, I'm I learn from the guy, man, as much as I can. You know, I take all the goods that he is. You know, he's outspoken and shit like that. Certainly, probably doesn't help his cause, but you know, he also does a lot of good. You know, I don't know. There's, you know, that's you can't really argue opinion, but in my opinion, I think he does a lot of good for the sport. He does some bad for the sport too, but I think putting the everything in the hands of a promoter, you know, again, that's probably not the smartest move. He's got something to gain out of that, and he wants to put that. That's kind of the issue originally with Idaho's MMA. The original sanctioning body had a lot of the guys on that athletic commission were pro, you know, all pro promoters down in the Boise area. So they didn't want any amateur MMA to compete with. So that was the reason that they made a lot of the rules that they did to kind of press out amateur MMA and make it harder for amateur MMA promoters. So I think it's got to be some sort of nonprofit, like, or not nonprofit, but a, you know, some independent third party that does it that really has nothing to gain.
Yeah, but look what they're doing. I mean, why don't we just break it down? I mean, if MMA is a sport, right? MMA is its own sport. Basketball is its own sport.
Yeah.
Judo is its own sport, right? And karate is its own sport.
Easy.
But
yeah.
But you can go to a freaking high school gym and have a karate tournament every week.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, not in Idaho. In Idaho, to do professional wrestling, karate, any type of contact sport at all, you have to go through the same exact athletic commission. It's kind of weird. I don't know if there's if other states are that way, but you actually fill out the same application to put on like a professional wrestling or karate or judo or you know, something along those lines. You know, it's probably different in a lot of other places. But,
well, I hope it didn't come off sounding, like, dumb about it there. But, you know, I mean, it just seems that way. It seems like, you know, it's so easy to just throw, you know, little judo tournaments and karate tournaments compared to the commotion that's being brought about because MMA's inside of a cage, you know?
Yeah.
And it's actually safer that way. We all know this. You know, we don't have to preach it. But, you know, whatever, man. You know, they're raising a shit about nothing, and that's what it's all about. It's a bunch of old prudes that sit around and they're like, well, this isn't like the old days of boxing. Well, who gives a crap? Boxing's dead. I'm sorry, it is. And MMA is what's growing, you know?
Well, I think that was the other deal that, you know, I get a lot of, and I'm, well, I don't know, I haven't followed boxing in a long time, but I was a boxing fan back in the day, kind of before MMA got big. Just from a safety perspective, man, that I find so many people out there that think that MMA is so much dangerous than boxing, so much more dangerous than boxing.
Makes
and there's like the National Institute for Sport Safety, 10.5 people, I don't know where the half of them, maybe a midget somewhere, but 10.5 people a year die from boxing, and there's been, what, two in the last 20 years in professional MMA?
Right,
maybe,
the stats
maybe three
speak
now.
For themselves, you know. It's kind of like marijuana,
more people,
but that's a whole different
more
story.
People have died. More people have died from cheerleading. Dude, three dudes died on that. I keep this thing on my Facebook. Three dudes died playing ping pong. More people have died from playing ping pong in the last 20 years than MMA. People shit when I tell them that.
Hey, speaking of people dying, did anybody else felt like Jessica I murdered that chick tonight?
No, I didn't see the fight.
Oh my God, standing triangle. She shook her like a dog with a toy till she was out.
Nice.
Oh, I might have to watch it now.
Hey now, be nice.
Oh, it's
my girl.
Sorry, Jeff. I know. I know that somebody that you very much love and support and sponsor with punched up the mouth guard. But I got to tell you what, dude. It looked like my dog fighting over a sock with a tennis ball in it. It was just shaking. And at one point, I thought I was like, I just saw a murder committed in the ring for the first time ever. I mean, it was just a whooping, dude. I'm sorry. I love you, Jeff, and I love your fighters, but that was obliteration.
Oh, man.
I haven't seen it yet, but wasn't it like 50 seconds long? How much of a whooping can it be?
Dude,
speaking of female,
how much of a whooping can it be in 50 seconds?
Triangle.
I haven't seen it.
Dude, she had her in that standing triangle, and I'll be honest, when you guys watch it, if you don't think she was out for a solid 5 to 6 seconds before the ref stopped it, then, you know, you guys obviously disagree with me. But I'm telling you right now, she got punched in the mouth, laid on her ass, got picked up, and got choked the fuck out. It was crazy, dude. And I'm telling you right now, nobody saw the fight going this way, because you know what? I'll be honest, I had a bet with Carl from Madhouse, and he picked Jessica. I did not. I picked your girl, Jess, because I felt that she was going to be the one to knock Jessica off that stool that she's on. And
He's lying, Jeff.
No, I'm not.
Well, it's just me from
Madhouse. He's a homer. He could pick somebody because they were mine. I know it's going to be worse. I believe him. It wouldn't necessarily be the logical pick always, but he'll just back me.
Dude, that's how I ended up with this nice clinch custom mouth guard tattoo.
Hey, Skippy, I'm working on that, but I haven't got Jeff to swing over this way yet, so we're just seeing what happens.
Dude, I'll tell you right now, dude, this is how Madhouse got Jeff on board. You fly him out, put him and his wife up for the weekend in a hotel, show him a good time, take him to a kick-ass event, and then give him lots of fucking money.
That works every time. Every time.
I tell you right now, dude, it's a win-win. You can't fail with that plan.
Yeah. Well, see, I have the privilage of putting his fighters on film. See, I can put his fighters and his logo on film. So, as a matter of fact, your girl, Michigan girl, Sheena Brandenburg's fighting up here on the 19th, man. And you going to come to Michigan, check her out, or is that just not a good day for you? Talking to you, Jeff.
I don't do that too much.
No, I don't really do that too much. Yeah, right on.
No, I just, you know, I support from afar. Let's say she's an Emmy. She's a great girl, but it's hard to justify that.
Yeah, I've got my eyes on another one.
I went to
say two, Lauren Foley, man. Remember that name. Foley.
Well, Jeff, for as many guys as you've sponsored, as many fighters, amateur and pro, as you've sponsored, you'd have to have pretty goddamn deep pockets to make every fight that they're in. It seems like there's fighters all over the place that you've sponsored, man. That's a good thing, man. Really good.
Pretty much
the hey, how about this?
I'm going to the UFC tomorrow.
Dude,
I'm hanging out in the Invicta crowd.
Dude, I've got it for all you guys, man. You guys want to hang out with Jeff, it's super simple. Four times next year, you guys turn on Access TV and watch that happy little face walk into the cage and hand out some awards because, you know, this is one of the biggest new sponsors for MSC. You're going to see him everywhere next year, ridiculously.
Right on.
Yeah, to give you a shout-out about that, that's pretty fucking cool, Jeff. I just had to do that for you, brother.
No, I noticed.
Thanks, I'm excited. I'm still in shock.
Hey, guys, I got a scoop, man. I got to be up in Traverse City to film a show tomorrow by 1 p.m. And I'm on the Eastern Standard Time over here. So, you know, you guys are all, you know, actually still early in the evening. You're only at like 1:30. So, hey, thanks for everything. I appreciate it. You guys have a great night. Peace out. Rock on.
Talk to you soon, brother, man. Thanks for hanging out tonight.
Right on. See you guys.
We'll see you.
See you. Oh, Chris, it's been a great show, man. Yeah, and I got to say, Jeff, you know, on that deal with MSC, man, that's just super fucking pimp, dude. I think that's super cool, man. I'm gonna be watching Access TV. I'm going to be like, I'll look over at that Clinch Custom Mouth Guard hoodie I got and that Clinch Custom Mouth Walk Art shirt, and I'll be like, damn, in another few years, I'm going to sell this shit on eBay.
I still can't believe how it happened. I'm still just in shock.
Just for everybody who's never heard the story, man, I know you've told the story on Cage Fire Radio, and I know you personally, so I know the story, but you got to tell the fans tonight the story it is.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I think I got it right here. Give me just a second. Yes, I do have it right here. So I'll even play you the message. But I'm sitting here working with my wife. We're just working away on some guards, And, you know, I get so many calls a day of people calling for free shit. Everybody wants something for free. So I don't answer the phone very often. So if you call me, leave a message. If you don't want something for free, I'll call you back right away. But the phone rang and it said Canada. And I said, unless it's Mark Pavlich, I'm not fucking answering it. I'm not just trying to be funny. And my wife just laughed a little bit. And then my voicemail went off. And I hit the voicemail, hit put it on speaker, and this is what I got.
Become a sponsorship of the largest mixed martial art organization in Canada, one of the biggest in the world. So call me back. I'm in my office, 780.
Like, that's crazy. That's totally... I was like, are you kidding me? I just, like, we couldn't believe it. We just sat there looking at each other going, what? Play it again. Like, oh my God, Dana White of Canada just called me out of nowhere. I've never called him. I've never anything. He just called me. Wow.
That's so fun.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool. That would be honestly like, you know, Bada Harvey just knocking on my door one day and being like, hey, we want to spar with you. You know, I'd be like, what?
Yeah.
Holy shit. First of all, I'd be like, how'd you get out of prison? But second of all, I'd be like, let's do it.
I'd be like, fuck that, I'm running.
Pretty cool.
Fuck that. Bada Harvey's a beast, man. That dude, that's. I can't believe all this trouble he gets into, man. Such a talented dude, man.
Yeah, like, dude, come on, man. You're a K-1 world fucking champion fighter. Why are you beating up nightclub people for money?
Oh, I shit. Have your homie do it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't understand that. He's shitting away a great career. Oh, yeah, dude. Tomorrow, guys, you know, you guys know I'm not a big Zuffa zombie, but... Let's go around the table, dude. Who do you guys got? Let's start with Jesse, dude, in the big three. Who do you got? We're talking DJ Penn, Rory McDonald. We're talking Shogun and Gustafsson, and obviously Diaz Henderson. Who do you got, brother?
I don't have a pick. I don't know enough about Shogun and Gustafsson. For McDonald and Penn, I got to go with McDonald just because, you know, I was just up at the gym, Tushido, not long ago. I was talking with a couple of the training partners that he originally started with before he went over to TriStar. They all had good things to say about him. I haven't actually even seen him fight yet. And then for the other one, I think Benson will win that if he can make his wrestling pay off. If he doesn't, I think Diaz wins that one. He's the favorite in my mind, probably a 6.5, 3.5 favorite. Just because his jiu-jitsu is good, you know, he's got a lot of reach on him. So yeah, those are my picks. Diaz and McDonald, and I'm a 50-50 on Rua's fight.
What about you, Jeff?
BJ Penn, Diaz, and Shogun.
Chris, you know, is that your pick?
That's my same pick. I'm thinking
no decisions.
Nate Diaz, second round guillotine. I'm going to call it because this is what I said earlier. Second round guillotine, Nate Diaz. BJ Penn, I think he might TKO Rory in the first round. I really do think that. And then Shogun, I think that one's going to go to a decision, and Shogun's going to get it because I don't know. I don't know, man. Those are all tough fights. It's all the old beast versus the young lions. You know, that's how it is.
Well, I'm pretty close to you guys. I got BJ Penn finishing Rory in the second as well. I believe he will. I believe Rory is not ready for what this guy can bring to the table. Because BJ Penn has to go down as a upper top 10 all-time fighter. B, I got Gustafsson or whatever you call it. I got that boy obliterating Shogun. I feel bad for it, but I got Shogun getting knocked the fuck out in the first. And then I've got Diaz with a TKO in the third.
Well, you guys are going to be eating some crow, man. I'm telling you, McDonald's a stud, dude.
Yeah, he's a stud. He's definitely a stud, man. That, you found it. But
Carl's a big fan.
I still got to go with the true fighter, not the athlete.
Yeah, well, I'll take your word for it, but you guys are going to be eating some crow, man, I'm telling you. Do I smell any bets in the wind on that fight?
And what's that UCLA
tattoo
look
like?
Allowed
to bet.
What's that?
I said I'm legally not allowed to bet.
What's that UCLA logo look like?
Jeff is giving you shit about making a tattoo bet with me because I have a tendency to tattoo when I lose a bet. I like tattoos, so it's easier just to put a tattoo on the line because I got sponsored Ink Tank Tattoo from Madhouse out here in Oregon. They do all the tattoo work in exchange for sponsorship. So I've already got a $600 tattoo on my ribcage that says Clinch Cut the Mouth Guard. So it's their logo. 16 inches long, 10 inches wide.
That's all the stories my wife says about me.
Dude, yeah, I love betting. What can I say? I'm a fan of the sport. You know, but this one time I didn't go the way of Clinch, and my boy got knocked out. Knocked the fuck out.
Man.
But I'll be honest, this tattoo can get me all the pussy in the world I ever wanted. I don't know why. Do girls just think it's the hottest thing ever? And I'm short, fat, lazy. So, you know.
If they're a fan of Clinch, they're all going to have their teeth, too, so that's a good thing.
You're a good body, woman.
Oh, man. Dude, by the way, guys, Sam Selander, the fighter, he says he's got Penn Gustafsson Diaz. And if anybody out there doubts that Swick will win, just quit following me. Swick is one of my all-time favorite fighters. Swick's the shit, man.
Matt Brown is tough, though. That dude, every time he's backed into a corner and is about to get thrown out of the UFC or get released, he wins a fight. I'm not saying he's even there right now because he won his last fight. But every time that dude, you know, has a fight where it's like, all right, if this dude loses this fight, he's getting released. He always fights fucking awesome.
Wasn't Matt Brown, is he the Ultimate Fighter alum?
No. He was on the Ultimate Fighter. I don't know what season. I'm not a zombie.
When he was, I'm pretty sure, if I remember the couple of fights that I watched on the Ultimate Fighter, he didn't perform real well on those fights. You know, I don't remember if he won one or what the deal was, but he talked. Everybody thought he was the big stud in the house. And then, you know, he kind of failed to perform from what I saw. But I haven't seen him since, though, so I don't know, you know, if he's improved since then.
I mean, he goes, he wins a few fights, and then he loses, and then, you know, that's just how his career's been. But he has a rough record. I don't really personally care about records. He's mm-hmm. just one of those guys that goes in there and performs every time. And Mike Swick, you know, he's coming back, you know, beat DeMarcus Johnson. Which, you know, whatever. That was a good fight. I like DeMarcus myself, but that was a good fight. And this one could be good. I don't know. This could be fight of the night, actually. I don't know, though. BJ Penn and Rory McDonald could be pretty damn good.
It's funny. A couple years back, I was down in Vegas for, I think it was the second GSP and BJ Penn fight. And we went into the up to the Golden Nugget up on Fremont Street. We were in there. I think we were playing roulette or something. I can't remember or blackjack rather. And I was sitting with my cousin, and we probably played for half an hour and got up and walked away. And my cousin says, "Hey, you know that guy we were sitting with? That was Mike Swick." I'm like, "Oh, you shitting me?" So I turned around and sure as shit. So I didn't even recognize him. So.
Well, I'm glad that story went the way that it did, not the Travis Luter story way, because I guess I started getting nervous for a second.
I don't know that story. What's the point?
Dude,
you got to elaborate, man.
Oh, I definitely will. On our regular show, Madhouse Live, on Wednesday nights, we were interviewing Jennifer Ray, of all people, from Premier Combat Group in San Antonio. Oh, this is fucking weirdo, because I'm trying to hook you two guys up, you know, to talk. And, you know, Jennifer, lovely lady, she's on the show, and she's got this great event. Travis Luter's going to be there, and this fan calls in. He's like, dude, I love local MMA. Where is this event going to be? We're like, San Antonio. He's like, oh, you ever been to the Boardwalk? We're like, yeah, we've all been to the Boardwalk, yeah. You know, he's like, oh, I love local MMA. Did you guys see Travis Luter's going to be there? Man, that's really cool, dude. He's like, I love it. I actually ran into him and Seth Petrelli in Galveston, Texas. You know where Galveston is? And we're like, yeah. He goes, oh, well, they were at this bar, man, and he is super nice guy. He was there with some friends, and he bought us some shots, and they had a VIP room in the back, and he took me back there and gave me a hand job, let me blow a load on his face. That's exactly how he said it, live on the air. We were like, what? What? Oh, shit. And dude, like, we were muting the fuck out of this guy. We were like, get him the fuck off the radio. Dude, I could not fucking believe this guy got us, dude. Dude, Jennifer was like, oh, shit, what the hell was that, you know?
Oh, my God, man. That's rough.
Dude, fucking hilarious.
Was that behind the show that had hay bales and sponsors draped over the hay bales? I like that kind of crowd.
Well, and here's what's even worse is in queue waiting to come on air is legacy fighter Bubba Bush, who runs the MMA Church of Christ in Brazos Valley, College Station, Texas, and he runs EVMMA. You know, so he's a hardcore Christian. You know, Marine. Doesn't cuss. He runs, you know, a church for MMA fighters. And he's sitting there in queue listening to this shit the whole time. And I got to bring him on in like a minute and a half. And I'm like, oh, you got to be fucking joking me, dude. I can't believe this dude burnt me on live air like this. Because the guy, we fell for it because he was so, like, clean, educated, sounding, asking good questions, telling a great story. And then all of a sudden we were like, what the fuck? I could not believe it. I still can't. I'll find the episode and send you a link to the timestamp so you can hear it. It's fucking hilarious, man.
I got kind of a funny story, but it's not really MMA related. It's pretty quick, though, if you don't mind my telling it.
Go for it, bro.
All right, man. So when I was like, I was probably 17 or 18 years old, I was driving back from Seattle, and I had this old beat-up pickup. No stereo in it other than AM radio. And I'm going through Central Washington, and the only station that I pick up is like a religious talk radio show. And they had some deal going on where what you had to do is call in and you use a word that's not in the dictionary and you use it in a sentence. And if it makes sense, then, you know, you're entered to win like a trip to Hawaii or something like that. So I'm kind of zoning out in Central Washington. I'm sure you guys have been on, you know, I-90. It's just straight and nothing, boring. So I'm kind of zoning out listening to this, and I hear this guy get on, and they say, okay, well, what's your word? And he says, go in. And they say, okay. Well, they check it out in the dictionary and make sure it's not in there. And they say, okay, if you can use it in a sentence and it makes sense, you know, you could be entered to win this prize. And he says, okay, go in, fuck yourself, right? So I die, man. I'm rolling, laughing for, like, you know, a good 5-10 minutes I'm vet rolling about this shit by myself in this pickup, you know? So then, like, 20 minutes goes by, and I think by now I'm up by, like, Royal City, and I'm on Highway 26, and it's even worse than 90, just nothing but straight and nothing there. Well, they cut off immediately, and I don't know if they, I'm not sure how radio works, but they cut off immediately, and he made her through. And so a little bit goes by, like another 15-20 minutes goes by, and they continue with the competition or the contest, and they get back to it and kind of, you know, apologize a little bit and get back to it. Well, a little while goes by, and I'm kind of still rolling about the first statement. Well, another guy calls in, different voice. And he says, Smee. And they say, okay, if it's not in the dictionary, go ahead and use it in a sentence. He says, his voice goes back to that original dude. He says, Smee again, go ahead and fuck yourself. I died, man. I was rolling, man. That shit happened 15 years ago, and I still remember that to this day, man. It was awesome, insane, man. Oh, that made that whole trip worth it.
Shit. Well, gentlemen, man, on that note, dude, let's wrap up the show. I want to thank Jeff for Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. Everybody, you know, getclinch.com. Chris Gregory,
yes,
at
sir.
Chris Gregory MMA. You know, hey, you guys, this guy has done coverage on Show Fight Fighters for Show Fight 24 like nobody's business. Go to Madhouse, MMAMadhouse.com. He's got interviews like with 7 or 8 fighters, I believe, off this card.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
definitely give you guys an insight to what's going on there, who the fighters are. Jesse from Unified Combat League, I want to thank you as well for joining in. You know, Jason Muggs from Amateur Combat Sports, you know, him as well, and all the people who called in between. I think Brandon Fly and Mike McCray. You guys, look, we do this every Friday night. This is just for all of us to bullshit and hang out, and I really appreciate all you guys from the industry calling in and hanging out.
Right on, man. Well, from my point of view, I appreciate you, man. You guys have been great for us. You guys make publicity a hell of a lot easier, man. It's good hanging out and talking with dudes that are cool and, you know, fun to talk with.
Well, you know, the whole thing for us is it's about supporting local and man. Look, whether you're Sam the Sea Lander, Sea Monster, an amateur fighting in Oregon, or, you know, you're Randy Blake fighting at the biggest level of K1, or anywhere in between, man, people need to get out there and support those. They need to go to those events. They need to buy those sponsors' gear. They need to buy the walkout T-shirts. They need to go and, you know, buy promotions and support local MMA, man. Without it, we don't have a future in this sport, man. We got to support it. And you know, we do broadcasts on multiple shows that cover MMA, but this is the one show where we can all just kind of, quote-unquote, exhale and just be ourselves, talk shit, have fun, and just kind of, you know, see what's going on with the sports and the promotions around the country, you know. This isn't so much for, you know, fans per se, like information-wise, as it is just for us to be able to bullshit. Because I want you and your tournament to be successful. I want, you know, Clinch and his business to be successful. I want Chris Gregory to be able to have the opportunity to go and interview great fighters and great promoters and great sponsors, you know. I want Jason to be able to broadcast this because, you know, he puts our logo on his broadcast, which I got, you know, I forgot to tell him thank you for, but, you know, look, this is all about supporting local MMA, man, and whoever it is. You guys got to get out there and do it. Wherever you are, go support that region. Go support those fighters, those sponsors. I mean, it's important, man. I love this shit. I'll tell you what, I've already watched 3 events today. I'm about to watch another one when we hang up. And then in 6 hours, Gorham Getchavelli is fighting at M1 Global. That's, you know, I'll be staying up all night to watch that. And then tomorrow there's 7 events streaming live that I know of already. Ooh. You know, I love this shit, man. So everybody else should, too. They just need to get out and support it. And I think having people like Jeff and Chris and you, Jesse and Jason on the shows on the different weekends, you know, it's exposure. It's helping broaden the sport, man, helping open doors. You know, because now, obviously, you've met, you know, Jason and you've met Chris, you know. Now you got somebody down and, you know, you can be like, hey, you know, I got a fighter coming out of, you know, Missouri, Chris Gregory. Can you help me out and tell me anything about him? You know, it's all about opening doors so we can build this sport, man. This show's just a late night show so we can be fucking jackasses. So, you know, I appreciate all you gentlemen taking the time. You guys know we do this every Friday night, usually around the same time, you know. So anytime you guys want to join in, you know you're always there. Chris Gregory is pretty much a regular. Jeff, you've been pretty regular, too. You know, Jesse, always feel free to call in, tell us what's up, bullshit, whatever.
Right on, man. I will, definitely.
Well, I will send everybody out with some great music, because you guys know me. And I don't know who the hell put that crappy-ass song as the opening, but I was so upset because I used to have Soulfly, but everybody, Eagle.